Thank you. Right, I won't say too much about what we've just sung because I don't know what we're going to be singing, but hopefully when you hear what I've got to say, it's amazing how God works things out. To start off with, can we turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7? Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Okay, I'll read it. It goes, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Exactly. Right, it's been said by the World Health Organization that by the year 2020, depression will be the second most disabling condition afflicting this world. 10 times more people suffer from depression than they did at the end of the Second World War in 1945. The age for the onset of depression is between the ages of 25 and 26. How could this be? We have more money than ever circulating around the world than at any time in history. Yet we have more debt than any previous generation. We can communicate easily with people across the world in other time zones and countries. I remember back in the early 80s when I went to Australia. It was very difficult to get in contact with Australia. You had to make a phone call and allow for it being at least 8 hours time difference. Now, you can just do it with Skype. It's so easy. But then, we still have the most lonely people more than any other time in history. We also have wealthy people who would enthusiastically give it up simply for their peace of mind. We all understand and want that peace of mind. Today I felt inspired to share this with you, as there are many people in this world, and that includes those of us in churches, who are suffering, and that to me is not the will of God. And I know he doesn't want us to suffer in silence. Several years ago, again, when I lived in London, I was on my train journey to work. And unless any of you have done a commute to London, you won't really necessarily fully appreciate it. I'll just tell you, sometimes you have to get on a crowded train, which is smelly, uncomfortable, you don't always get a seat, you're lucky if you do, and then you have to pay for the privilege. At that time, it was costing me about £2,000 a year just to get to work, and yet it's only a journey of about 8 miles. Anyway, I wasn't very happy about it, and I was just thinking about what's going to happen. I mean, I thought, I've got on this train, it's packed, I can't sit down, I can't think, I've got a tough day ahead, and I just couldn't relax. So it wasn't really a good way to start my day. But then, while I was standing in the corridor waiting for a train to go between signals, because it should have only taken 20 minutes, it often took 45 minutes, I found God was challenging me a bit. He was asking me, what was I thinking about? I mean, I don't know if any of you have had God challenging you suddenly saying, come on, tell me, what you're thinking about? What are you thinking about? You've got something going through your mind. Share it with me. Don't keep it in, you know. You've got to share it with me. And I realised that my state of mind wasn't correct. I was just feeling worried and anxious about what was going to come up in that day. Because I knew it was going to be a high-pressure day. I just would ideally like to got up, taking my time, get to the station, get on the train, nice and relaxed, ready for a big meeting I had. But I was just too worried, partly because of my situation. I was heading this way could have been harmful to me. Because God did not want me to be worried or anxious. He doesn't want us to waste our time being worried and anxious. He quite simply desires we live our lives fully trusting in him, who has worked out every single detail. We don't need to worry about a thing. Okay, it's not saying that we abdicate responsibility, but we can pass on to God and say, God, I'm really worried about whatever it is that's coming up, okay? Now, let me go back to that text in Philippians. Now, as we always say, you've got to look at the context. Now, what we've got to remember is, Paul, when he wrote this letter to Philippi, was in prison, a Roman prison. Now, Roman prisons, I don't know how much you know about them, because you might have seen things on Gladiator or something like that, but that's very tame. They were horrible places. Not like today, all right, they're not brilliant today, but there's a very little chance of you surviving even to go to court if you're in a Roman prison. They were intent on breaking you before they got any further, because it saved them money and everything else like that. And it would be an experience which wouldn't be very cosy, shall we say. But what was Paul doing? He was in the midst of this huge ordeal. He was giving instruction to his church in Philippi. He was instructing them on how to live, especially in the hard times and times of pressure and disappointment. He was trying his hardest to be the man that God wanted him to be. And yet he's now finding himself a Roman citizen in a Roman prison. So, I mean, if we think we've got things tough, think about it. You're looking a bit confused there, Simon. Anyway, he could have easily felt let down by God, for he was being judged for what God had called him to do. Yet there he was in prison. We can often feel trapped in the discouragement of our past. We may feel that God has let us down, that life is not going the way we would like it to be, and say, way we would like it to be, not the way God wants it to be. We've got bills coming in, anxieties of our daily life are getting to us, and we're feeling exhausted and not even getting much peace or rest. We might be getting very little sleep at night. God wants to encourage us. He wants to reflect us on his words to help us. We might be thinking we've done so many things for God, then saying, what about the promises you made for my life? But, you know, have we kept our part of the deal? We're still stuck in our boring, humdrum job or humdrum life and nothing is happening. But how much of it is because we're not moving towards God? We always want God to come straight to us, but sometimes we've got to go to God. Because God always fulfills his part of the deal. Let me just quickly go back to Paul again. He was not in the most desirable situation, as I've said. Yet, I can't find anywhere where Paul is complaining about his situation. He doesn't want to ever say that he wants to give up. It's while he's waiting with trial that he shows that he's trusting God for every area of his life. And that God would turn everything around. I mean, I've been in situations, I'm sure all of you have been in situations, where we've had friends who've gone through a difficult time. We can see them struggling and they feel like giving up on things. But then when we start talking to them, they end up blessing us. Because they're going through trouble, but they seem to have more peace about a situation or peace about things than we do. And again, going back to Paul, he's in a position where he feels discouraged and down. But he's writing a letter full of encouragement. So many more times can we do the same sort of thing. I'm not saying necessarily we've got to write letters, but just be encouraging to other people, even when we're going through rough times. Because some of the rough times we're going through, or have been through, might be able to help that other person. It's not until we open our mouths and our hearts to people we can actually do that. I think, or I believe, that Paul was giving church in Philippi a clue on how to remain joyful, trouble-free and worry-free. He's given us an understanding that we're able to cope because he was in that difficult situation. Something which I feel in October 2017, like now, we can learn from. We might think we're going through a difficult time, but until we open up and say, open our mouths to each other and people outside the church, we don't know how much we can do. I just want to start looking a little bit at worrying. Putting it quite simply, worrying is caused by anxiety. It is worrying that causes us to become restless. Consequently, takes us away from God's promises for us. It is also worry that takes us away from peace. I mean, how many of us have gone to bed at night really being really worried about the next day, whether it be a meeting or anything, and we've not been able to sleep, because all we're doing is tossing and turning, worrying about what's going on. Instead, we should be saying, okay, God, I know you're in charge of my life. Please, help me. It's quite straightforward. I mean, it's not rocket science to me, but sometimes it's easier said than done. I do agree. You see, then what happens is our minds just start getting carried away. We make things worse because we think, oh, no, if that doesn't happen, then that won't happen. Oh, and if that doesn't happen, that won't happen. Oh, will that happen? Will this happen? We haven't got to get caught up in that at all. Okay. I've heard it said that worry is a down payment on a problem you never have. Let me just repeat that. Worry is a down payment on a problem you don't have. Corrie ten Boom, I'm sure all of us have heard her one way or another, she's a survivor of the Holocaust. She once commented, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, it empties today of its strength. When we worry, we're very anxious. As I say, we worry about things that might never even happen. When we worry, we do not have the strength that we need to fight the day's problems. We do not need to try and see the future. That is God's priority. It's according to his will. And as I say, we go without rest and peace. In Proverbs chapter 12, I'll read it out for you, verse 25, it says, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Just think about that for a second. You can be as anxious as anything, but you can have a quiet word with God or someone else. You can just say, can you pray for me? And straight away, you can feel so much more content, shall I say. We all need to hear the good words. We all need to hear the good word from God. And I want to encourage all of us, and say every single one of us, to be readers and students of the Bible far more. I mean, I'm not exactly brilliant at it. I'm getting better. But the more I'm studying the Bible and listening to what God's saying, the more it's making changes in me. You might not be able to see it, because you see me maybe week in, week out. But I saw some people yesterday at a football match I hadn't seen for a couple of months. And I don't, I'm not saying it was me, it's what God's doing. One of them who I saw, he said to me, wow, Jake, you seem to be so much calmer and more content about things than a couple of months ago when I last saw you. So don't start looking at each other and say, Simon, has Simon changed this week? No, he hasn't changed, whatever. Because it's not for us necessarily always to see. God knows what he's doing in us, and then also what we're out working in other people. So if we're feeling at all depressed, low, even hopeless, just speak to God, because he's got his promises for your life. Let him deliver on those promises. Don't make it difficult for him. Just help him with it. Say, okay, God, you made those promises for me. How do I deliver them? Not, when will you deliver them? How do I deliver them? I mean, to me, we've got God who can make sure the Red Sea was parted. You know, so that's, looking at us is, for the word, almost nothing in comparison. Satan, unfortunately, gives us these worry as an opportunity to attack us, wear us down. But I say, that's even more reason for us to turn to God. God has made us people of sound minds. We shouldn't be threatened by what the world and people around us are trying to do to us. We should trust God in all situations. And again, sometimes it's easier said than done, but it's like anything, like a child. You never see a child going crawling straight up to running 100 metres. We've got to build up the strength to do it, bit by bit. And not just do it on our own, we've got to do it with each other's help as well. And definitely with, say, with God's help. Okay, then, as a quick solution to worrying about things, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, okay, and I'll just read it out, save a bit of time, yeah. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? That is so simple and so direct. In the New King James Version, it actually says, take no thought for your life. In other words, it shouldn't even enter our subconscious. We should be saying, right, God is providing. So, what I'd like to do is, I want to go through a couple of what I call antidotes. So my first antidote for dealing with worry is to think about what you're thinking about. So think about what you're thinking about. That might sound confusing, but don't worry about it. Because basically, we've got to be good custodians of our mind and concentrate on what God is saying to us, not what everyone else is saying to us. Not allow Satan to come in and play tricks with our mind and say, you can't do this, you can't do that. Just listen to what God is saying. After all, life is more than just the food we eat, or the clothes we wear, the place we live in, or even a job or bank balance. Yes, they all help. But I personally know what it's like when things are tough, as according to the world, when God steps in and does amazing things. And I'm sure if we stopped and thought about it, we could all think of times when God has really stepped in and helped us out big time. Okay. Our second antidote is to pray about things. In James chapter 5, verse 13, it says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. I say, that is our hotline, with and to God. It's an ongoing thing. It's not just a thing, as I say, when you have trouble or even when things are really good. We don't just suddenly just do extremes. It's continuous. So if we're going through problems, even right now, we should pray about it. Not just necessarily on our own, if we feel comfortable with someone else we know in church or in another church, and say, get in contact and say, can you pray for me about this? Because, as I say, we're not doing it alone. Okay? Because worrying to me is a big cue for us to start praying. Because, as I say, we're making things in our own strength. But can I encourage you, be specific. I'm not saying, if you've got no money, okay, God, give me £1 million. I mean, who knows? God might suddenly say, yeah, okay, there's £1 million. But to say, look, God, I'm really struggling with this situation. Please help me through it. Say, it'll be a tough meeting, anything. Talk to him about it, okay? Don't just hold it in. The third antidote, as I like to call them, is when thanking God for what you've already prayed about. Because God knows what the outcome's going to be. So we should be praying in faith and anticipation and saying, thank you, God, for sorting out that situation for me. Because, let's put it this way, again, I wouldn't ask, say, I don't know, Marie for a new mobile phone, and then wouldn't say thank you afterwards, or I wouldn't be polite, because it's not right. And the same with God. We ask God for something, we say, thank you. Thank you for doing that. And also, of course, once he's delivered us from the situation, definitely thank him, and then testify about it. And say, not necessarily standing up in front here, but even on a one-to-one, the person who's prayed with you about it, let them know. That will encourage them as well. So we're in that, okay. We've got in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You see, sometimes we can wonder when we're going through difficult times, what is God's will? But it doesn't really matter too much, so long as we turn to him and ask him for that help. So as I say, three main steps are, think about what you're thinking about, pray what you are worried about, and then praise God. God's promise is, if we follow these three steps in all of our situations, we have a peace that surpasses all understanding. And I mean, in my notes, I've highlighted the word all, and I mean all situations. This is not just a peace of, and calmness, it is a peace knowing that God has heard our prayers. He's guarding our hearts and minds with his peace. He wants to help us and strengthen us in all our situations. Just want to go back to where I started. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So can we just, myself included, act on it. Not just listen and do this, that, and the other. Actually act on it. Because that will make an amazing difference to our lives and with people around us. Okay? Thank you. So that's why I say, that song was very interesting, shall we say, and I didn't know anything about it. Okay.